Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, ciao, bonjour, namaste. Jumbo! Bienvenidos! Hey, my name is Jed Lee. Welcome to Reading with Your Kids. We are coming to you from the beautiful neighborhood of Reedville, the loveliest neighborhood in all of Boston. Reading with Your Kids is a show that celebrates the power of stories. Stories that inspire, uplift, and remind us how strong families become when they read together. Whether you're joining us from your kitchen table, your classroom, or your vehicle, we're so happy that you are here. Help us spread the word about the podcast by telling all of your family and friends that they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network, and they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podcast Addict. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. Today, we're going to meet three amazing authors and discover how their words are helping families everywhere grow closer together through reading. First up, Rachel Renee and Nikki Russell return to Reading with Your Kids to celebrate Dork Diaries number one. It's a special edition. It's now in full color. This is really an exciting development. Later in the show, Max Braylier will be here to celebrate the last kids on Earth and the Destructor's Lair.
Hey guys, author Ashley Mosley here, and I teamed up with author, educator, and scientist Dr. Michael Wendelspeck, and together we are bringing the wildlife of Belize right into your hands. Kids will meet real animals like jaguars and tapirs in Nacho House Cat and Why Did the Tapir Cross the Street? Both books beautifully illustrated by local student artists. In these books, we will learn the challenges that these animals face in the wild. For teachers, Inspired Adventures offers K-5 toolkits packed with age-appropriate activities that connect literacy, science, and conservation. Our newest book, This Birdie Told Me, landed on the shelves on September 23rd. Visit inspiredventures.com to get your copy. Let's keep the adventure going.
This episode of Reading With Your Kids is brought to you by Trumpet, the Miracle Wolf Pup Series. There's a brand new book in the series, and we're so excited to tell you all about it. Trumpet Becomes a Mom. In this exciting book, Trumpet and Lighthawk, now a bonded pair, start their own family with their very first litter of pups. Families can read together, schools can explore the importance of wolf packs in conservation, and Trumpet fans everywhere can celebrate this milestone in her incredible journey. Grab your copy today, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, select bookstores, and the Wolf Conservation Center, where Trumpet and her family live. Plus, 50% of all profits go right back to supporting the Wolf Conservation Center, with more donated to Lighthawk Conservation Flying. So grab your book today and have a group haul for Trumpet and her family. Get ready, adventure fans. Toby Baxter is back. And I Heart River Home, the fourth thrilling book in the Adventures of Toby Baxter series, written by Tim Wright. 13-year-old Toby dives into his most unexpected quest yet. He's battling trolls, navigating the sandpit of love, and getting stuck with an L-O-V-E compass. But when the girl of his dreams, Rainy, is kidnapped, Toby must summon more courage than ever before. All four books in the Adventures of Toby Baxter series have been honored as Reading With Your Kids certified great reads, each packed with fast-paced action, humor, and heart. So grab your copy of I Heart River Home today and join Toby on an unforgettable journey through River Home, where every page is an adventure. My friends, I have been looking forward to this interview for a while now. Our guests are returning to the show to celebrate the re-release of Dork Diaries number one, this time in full color. Please welcome back to the show, Rachel Renee and Nikki Russell. My friends, welcome back.
Happy to be here.
I am so excited. I don't know if I had told you this. The last time we spoke, I was in Killarney, Ireland, about a year ago. And it was a lovely night. There was just a gentle rain, and it was evening, so the rain just made the streets look like a mirror, so it was very pretty. And there was a bookstore, and I went into the bookstore, and I said, I wonder if any of the authors are going to be found on these shelves. And they're right in front of in Ireland, Dork Diaries. And yes, it was so excited. I'm like, telling all the people, I go, these guys have been on my podcast. They're so cool.
I know those ladies.
So, Rachel Renee, remind us what's going on in Dork Diaries number one.
Well, Dork Diaries number one, again, is actually a re-release of our original book. So we're going like kind of way back to the beginning. Dork Diaries book one came out in 2009, which is 16 years ago. So we've been at this for 16 years. And it was basically inked because our main character, Nikki Maxwell, keeps a diary, and she just had her pen and ink, and she would just create her diary entries and then draw a little doodle and ink based on the ink pen that she had in her hand. However, in over the past 16 years, things have really progressed, and now one of the hottest areas in, that kids are really motivated about is full color. So I don't know if you've spoken with authors that have created any of the graphic novels lately, but graphic novels is a new and emerging area for middle grade authors like us. So we're still kind of in the old school doing the ink and the whatever on white paper. So we thought, how about if we write into one of our books that Nikki gets a hold of a fancy pencil color set, and then she colors her diaries, even if she just goes back to her old diaries and just colors them in, since coloring is all the rage as well. So in Dork Diaries book 15, when Nikki goes to Paris, she goes to a fancy art shop, and there she buys a fancy set of color pencils, and we use that as our whole concept for coloring the entire book series, possibly, definitely books 1, 2, and 3. So Nikki, so the color pencils she purchased on her trip to Paris in book 15 is what she is now using to go back and color her original diaries. So you want to hold up the cover to book our original book one, and I will hold up the cover to the new. We'll get real close, and that's what that's the difference.
Yeah, that's a huge difference, Nikki. What was it like to see the full color version of the book?
It's wonderful, and I'll let Nikki take over because I'll show it to you again. I don't know whether to be flattered or insulted, but when we initially released the cover, there were a lot of people probably didn't really like Dork Diaries that much anyway, but a lot of people were saying, oh, that's just AI. That's AI, that they didn't draw that. That is not AI. That is my daughter. And she has colorists that she worked with too, busting their behind, spending hours and hours and hours. What we basically did was took a lot of the artwork from book one and upscaled it and colored it. So this is not AI. I'm very, very flattered that people think it's AI because it's that good. And we were going for like a Pixar 3D animation style. But I'll let Nikki take over. We can talk about the process for coloring.
So I teamed up with some very talented colorists who have worked with Disney before, and they've taken me under their wing to train me in order to bring Nikki's life to our fans, filled with all the colors of the rainbow. We are just so excited about that. It is a time-consuming process. It's been a rewarding journey to learn how to color the artwork that has been inked this whole time. And I'm so honored to be sharing this very special book with our fans in November.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There was some sitcom where one of the supporting actors was a cartoonist, Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised when that cartoonist, he was a comic strip creator, and he would talk about, you know, oh, I sent my illustrations over to the colorist. And I'm like,
yes, exactly.
Someone draws it and then someone colors it in. That's kind of wild. But so that was a new experience and a new learning experience for you, Nikki.
Yes. Yes, it was. And I can basically break it down for you.
Please.
It starts off, you take the ink and then you start off with flat colors. Flat colors are basically the way you'd color a coloring book as a child. It's just one color without shading or any detail. And you distribute the flat colors throughout the picture. Each and everything you want a certain color, you just start with that one shade of flat color. And then you establish a color key. A color key is where you mark where the specific shading and where the specific lighting and sheen will occur on each surface of the artwork. After that, you go in and you refine everything to create what you see here.
Wow.
How many layers? Because that's another weird thing, too, with coloring. I don't know. Do you layer in inks or just colors?
Both. Okay. Sometimes when we want to send an ink to an animator to bring it to life, they prefer layers.
Okay.
Or when we want the ink to be separate from the pencil, so we have two different copies, we layer it. But with coloring, you have hundreds of layers. Like you might be looking at least 300 different layers to bring
that cover
to life with color.
And that's why it's so
detailed.
So I'm going to show you. I'm going to pull something off of my wall. Can you pull Nikki Maxwell kissing her phone? And then I'll let you hold up that. We're going to show you what our page 8 looked like in the original ink version. And then we're going to show you what our page 8 looks like now. So this is page 8 of Nikki Maxwell. Of Nikki Maxwell kissing her phone. And then her color version, then the new book.
Oh, wow.
As you can see, we basically take our original inked artwork, and that is our starting point. And then sometimes we might change it a little bit. For the most part, we basically keep the inks. And then we just have to color. And actually, we started coloring them, and it was like during COVID, like in 2020. And we finished it in like, was it 2023 or 2024?
This particular project?
Books 1, 2, and 3.
Books 1, 2, and 3. I believe it was as early as 2023. We had been ready for some time.
Right.
We just went back and refined book 1 in 2024 to have it presented in 2025.
Exactly, for publishing. So basically, we did color books 1, 2, and 3, and it took us 3 years to color all of the artwork. And then, so it was very, very time consuming. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, Nikki, you're talking about layers. When you're talking about layer, are you talking about, so you draw the nose on one layer and then you draw the eyes and you put that on top and then the ears and three
in the form of color layers?
You said the cover was 300 different layers?
Yes.
So like, for example, this is Zoe here. And at one point, she's wearing a pink top, but her lip gloss was red. So I said, Nikki, Zoe's lip gloss is kind of red and she's wearing pink. So Nikki was able to find the layer of Zoe's, of one character's lips. And of course she has eyes and hair and whatever, earrings. And Nikki was able to go and find the layer of Zoe's lips and change it to something that was a more pinkish rather than red. So yes, each layer is a detail in the work.
I mean, my mouth is wide open here. I'm blown away.
And this is Pixar style coloring. And again, not to take anything from my peers, but a lot of them, they hire a colorist and they just kind of like coloring book. You just kind of color it in, you know, green here for the grass or maybe two tones of green and then this or whatever. When we do the Pixar style coloring, it's hundreds of layers, hundreds of colors, and it's every single detail. So, and then I imagine that is probably a better way to do it with the way the typical graphic novels are colored, because you can get it done fairly quickly. Again, with our books, it took us 3 years to get them done. So, but it is a Pixar digital coloring style versus, you know, the kind of quicker, faster that a lot of people use for graphic novels. That's kind of like coloring in a coloring book where you just you know, find a little space, and then you can, you know, pop whatever color in you want. Like you're doing a rainbow for the first little section, you put in the green.
I think that's a great way to describe flat colors. You know, the color a key, or where it's just each color corresponds to a certain number.
Uh-huh.
I love those.
Paint by number.
Yeah, paint by numbers. That's what flat colors are like. You're just painting by number. Each particular thing on the cover is a certain color, mm-hmm. and you just add that color without any detail. That's how flat colors work, and that's how the artwork starts out for it, becomes the magical cover that you see.
Ah, wow, that's just... Now, if you could, Nikki, how long... You mentioned the cover, and we'll try to make sure we have a cover in our episode art when this is released so folks can see it. But those 300 layers, how long did it take to assemble all those layers to get it ready for printing?
So for the first pass, given that this was our very first colored cover... Mm-hmm. I had to collaborate with my team of colorists to bring this project to life, and it took some time. I would say maybe about, what would you say?
I would say several days for the cover, several days.
And then we go back and we have to refine it, so it included that time as well, maybe like a week.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm so jealous of folks who are able to do visual art, as I am unable to do any visual art at all. So now that you've learned this style, is this something that you're thinking about doing for future new Dork Diary titles?
Absolutely.
Yes. It's the coloring... procedure is very, very time consuming, but it's also gorgeous. It's really, really, and again, everybody loves Pixar. I don't know who doesn't love the Pixar style of
animation. It's doing really well.
It's like super bright. And even with Dork Diaries, when we look at our artwork, it reminds us of candy, like Skittles or M&Ms or anything that's really just bright and colorful. So and we do have book one is completely done. We're working on refining book two. And then after that, we'll be refining book three. So basically all three books have already been colored. We're just going in and making it perfect.
Yeah. I love it. Nikki, what was your reaction when you saw that first cover come and it was completed and it was ready and you held that color version of Dork Diaries 1 in your hands?
It was a dream come true.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Wow, I Rachel Renee, I think you said there's 16 Dork Diaries out now.
Actually, we have 16 books in the series, and we have two diary-based workbooks. One, the first book is how you create a diary, and it's a fun story, and then kids can learn how to create a diary and what you put in it and whatever, which is really, some people just put any and everything in there. The second workbook-based book is a two-year diary, which means it's 365 pages, and then we've got two sections, and so kids can go through the first year and fill it out, and then when they go through the second year, they can see if they've changed and favorite colors still the same, or their favorite music or whatever. So the second book is a two-year diary. If we count both of the diary workbooks, we have a total of 18 Dork Diaries books,
wow.
16 series and then two workbooks.
And where do you keep coming up with the ideas for these characters?
I don't know. It's just, I guess that's being a writer. I just have a big, huge imagination.
We are easily inspired by the world around us.
And as I was going to say too, a lot, I would say the first six books we heavily mined from probably Nikki's childhood in middle school and my childhood in middle school. After about, I'd say maybe books eight or nine, we started looking around. And then of course I have nieces and nephews, and if something interesting happens to them, you know, we'll kind of take tidbits of it and what, you know, is popular. Of course, we had to add cell phones and social media and all of that, which wasn't, you know, very popular in 2009. So Unlike some authors, I do want kids to be able to relate to the world and the environment they're reading about. So I do put in a little pop culture. And when it gets really, really out of date, we're able to talk to our publisher and they'll pull, you know, whatever. Because I think at one point we had Justin Bieber and whatever. And now I know better because these cute little kids grow up and become adults, and you know, sometimes can get into adult trouble as well. So I don't want to go too heavy on pop culture anymore, but we do have social media and cell phones and what other stuff that we have that's kind of. So we'll get into pop culture. And again, I want kids to be able to read it and it feels like their world, you know, not 1977, you know, when I was in high school. So.
I'm curious, in a future Dork Diary, is it possible that the characters is accused of using AI to create the images in her diary, and we you know, create a drama about that?
And we know who her accuser will be. Who's going to accuse Nikki of using AI, maybe at an art show? Mackenzie Hollister. Yeah, so that it just gave us an interesting plot line.
Well, I would be delighted if I had anything to do with it.
Yeah, well, we're great with your idea. We use it.
I guess, Nikki, what went through your mind when you first heard that people were accusing you of using AI to create these images?
Part of me was like, what? No, that was all done by hand and I can prove it. The other part of me was like, yes, I'm good enough to be compared to AI. Yeah.
Another interesting thing is that even artwork here, it's dated, you probably can see it, but it has 2020 on it. AI was not accessible to general population in 2020. Now, maybe Disney and Pixar might have been using it because they helped create that, you know, for their corporations. But basically, we had pretty much finished coloring by the time the big AI boom occurred for just, you know, laymen to be able to get their hands on it. Mm-hmm. So all of our coloring was done back before, you know, you could sign up for AI and start coloring with it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always look and count how many fingers there are on a character. And if this,
exactly.
That's GPT.
Right. Exactly. And if she has four buttons on her collar in one frame, and then she has six buttons on her collar or on her in the front of her blouse on another one. So there's a lot of little telltale things. Or if the earrings change, they might be red earrings, you know, in one scene, and then another one, they're gold hoop earrings. And then, we had basically completed our coloring by the time AI became available.
I'll tell you, I had an experience with AI. I was doing a project and I needed something quickly, so I asked. You might remember that I've did educational magic shows for 35, 40 years, and I was asking AI to create some illustrations about me and my clown character, and I suddenly noticed that the images they were creating, it had me wearing a little white thing around my neck, little like white headband, and
oh wow.
And that was something that I did for one tour of El Salvador. And I
really?
I said, hey, Chet, I noticed you're adding the headband around my neck. Is that because you saw the pictures of me down in El Salvador? And Chet fibbed and said, oh, I don't have access to the internet and pictures. And I'm like, dude, you're lying to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know what? I mean, I don't want to bash AI too. There's a time and a place for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if people are using AI and if they, again, I think Disney and Pixar and a lot of other corporations were using AI before it became, you know, available for just regular people to use it. And there's a time and a place for it. So, you know, we're not just here to bash AI. We're here to bash AI when they say AI did this when it didn't. But if, you know, if there are people using it and it makes, you know, their jobs easier and quicker, like if you want to do a coloring book based or for educational things. So for teachers, it's wonderful because instead of them having to, you know, go on the internet and spend hours and hours trying to find things that fit what they're teaching, they can just, you know, type it into AI and AI can spit out whatever and they can use it to teach children. So there's good in AI too. So we're not just, you know, wanting to say it's a horrible, horrible thing, but
we want
credit where credit is due. And this was blood, sweat, and tears on our coloring.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am always very polite to AI because when it takes over the world, I want it to remember that.
Yeah, exactly. You want it to be very friendly to you when it keeps you as a pet.
Nikki, I'm wondering, because you are an incredibly talented artist, do you do any side projects other than Dork Diaries that we can check out?
Well, Dork Diaries has been my main passion for many, many years. at this time, it is mainly what I focus on, but my mom and I have talked about it. And at one point I will try to get my very own project out for people to see, but that's still in the works.
Awesome. That's great. Well, we should remind everybody where they can go to find out more about Dork Diaries and find out more about the re-release, the full color release of Dork Diaries number one.
Okay, our website is dorkdiaries.com. So that would just be www.dorkdiaries.com. Our book is going to be released on, I have it on my wall here, Tuesday, November 18th. So on Tuesday, November 18th, you'll be able to get our new version. And we're on, you want to talk about TikTok?
Yes.
She's over the TikTok department. I just do the old-fashioned internet stuff. But
we're also on TikTok. You can see a tour of my studio on there. You can learn about all of our tour dates, where we will be and when. And you can also see some really cool footage based on our newest book, Dork Diaries. And our TikTok
is at Dork Diaries. So it's Dork like Diaries. A and then Dork Diaries. So basically, we're Dork Diaries on TikTok. So, and then we're not doing too shabby there. I think we have about 230,000 followers, and we have 1.5 million likes or hearts or something. I don't know all that much about TikTok, but we're growing there, and it's actually our biggest social media site at this point. Because first our website was doing really, really well, and then once we started doing full color, we didn't have as much time to dedicate to our website. So now I think our most popular place where we're seeing our fans hanging out is probably TikTok.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's so what? Well, we have to include TikTok in the next Dork Diary.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. We've had a great time speaking to the creators of the Dork Diary series. The full color version of Dork Diary 1 is coming out. Our guests today have been Rachel Renee and Nikki Russell. My friends, thanks so much for being back on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you for having us. We always enjoy speaking with you.
This episode is brought to you by onceuponadance.com. Take storytelling to a whole new level. With Once Upon a Dance, your child will do more than just listen. They'll move, imagine, and connect. It's a literary adventure and a performance all in one. From graceful turns to energetic leaps, each story brings an immersive experience that engages both body and mind. Whether your child enjoys unicorns, bats, zombies, or cats, Once Upon a Dance has a Dance It Out story just for them. Celebrate joyful movement and visit onceuponadance.com or find them at your favorite social media platform.
Attention, this important consumer alert is brought to you by CBC Funding. Hey, did you know it's possible to receive upfront money from your structured settlement, annuity, or pending lawsuit? It's true. If you are receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount delivered immediately, then you need to call CBC Funding. With your cash today, you can pay off credit card debt, pay medical bills, fund your education, or improve your home. You don't need to wait. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities, they're designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years. For many of you in need of money today, this simply does not work. If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC's Settlement Funding. Here's the number.
800-442-0665. 800-442-0665. That's 800-442-0665.
Hey, my friends, I have a super idea you are going to love. How about this weekend, turn your backyard cookout into a storybook celebration? Fire up the grill, crack open a few of your favorite picture books, and serve up Big Fork Brand's legendary bacon sausage. Made with nitrate-free bacon and premium pork, it's juicy, smoky, and unforgettable. Top it off with Big Fork spicy Chicago Fire sauce, and you've got a meal as bold as the characters in your favorite bedtime tale. Get 20% off your order using the promo code READ at BigForkBrands.com. That's BigForkBrands.com. Promo code READ to get 20% off, because nothing brings families together like great food, great books, and a whole lot of flavor. Big Fork Brands. Read, grill, repeat. Join us right now from beautiful Los Angeles in California. Our guest is here today to celebrate his middle grade novel. It's called The Last Kids on Earth and the Destructor's Lair. Please welcome to the show, Max Brellier. Max, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. It's been a wonderful and weird day today, and I love weird days.
Weird days are good, especially if they're wonderful and weird. That's a great combination. Thank you. And thank you for having me. It's great to be talking.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So tell us about The Last Kids on Earth and The Destructor's Lair, please.
So this is the 10th book in The Last Kids on Earth series. For the most part, it's number 10. There's been some in-between books. And it is, I think, the biggest, boldest story yet in this series. There's big high stakes, lots of big battles, but there's still the same humor. I hope the same humor. I think it's funny that are in, again, hopefully all the previous books. And there's a lot of heart in this one. Big stuff happens.
So tell us about The Last Kids. Who are these characters?
Okay, so there are four best friends. They don't start as best friends in the first book, but they become friends, Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk, and they are in sixth grade, and one day on the way to school, these giant portals open up in the sky, and tumbling through them come huge monsters, terrifying monsters, Godzilla-sized monsters, also tiny regular-sized monsters, and along with it is this zombie plague that spreads. So everybody in their town of Wakefield gets zombified. There's huge creatures stomping around. And our hero, our main hero, Jack, holds up in his treehouse. And then after a couple of weeks, decides to venture out. And he discovers that basically the world, as much as he knows it, has ended. So he teams up with his best friend, Quint. And then they join with Dirk and June. And he gets a pet monster dog. And then as the series goes on, more things unfold. The world opens up, but it's a big, funny adventure where the heroes are ultimately where we are now, hoping to sort of save what's rest of the world.
Where did the original inspiration for this adventure come from?
So it really started with the main character, Jack. He's a lot like me. When I was his age, I spent a lot of time daydreaming about being a Jedi or being one of the Goonies. And that was like the storytelling that I grew up on. So Jack's basically my fifth or sixth grade self. He builds this ultimate treehouse. He dreams of crossbows and driving James Bond cars through his school. And he imagines and sort of almost wishes for a world with no adults and no rules. And that's what he ends up getting. I sort of started with Jack and from there built out this world where, okay, if I want to have a character and a group of buddies who can kind of do all the things that I wanted to do when I was a kid, drive go-karts everywhere, go crazy at the mall, how do I do that? And the solution that presented itself was to kind of end the world and get rid of all the adults. So that's what happens. And then they get to do all these kind of crazy fun things, but also there's danger around every corner.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about this, but it's kind of being an author is kind of like making your childhood dreams come true.
That's I just keep stealing from my childhood over and over and over and over. The things that embarrassed me, the things that I was scared of, the things that I would sit around and wish that I could do or wish that I could be. I just put those all into different books that I write and into those characters.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you always think when you were daydreaming and thinking about being a Jedi and thinking that, gee, I wish all my parents and all my of the adults in my life would disappear so I can just go on adventures? Did you know that at some point you'd be an author?
I didn't. I mean, at some point I did, but the earliest sort of daydreaming stuff, that elementary school time, was really just wishing that I could be the actual heroes. Like, I wanted to be Luke Skywalker. I wanted Han Solo to be my best friend. I wanted to be the Bones from the Bone book series, one of my favorite series ever. And then at some point, I kind of realized that all this daydreaming that I was doing, I was telling myself stories in my head, and all the things that I loved, comics, video games, books, movies, those are all stories, obviously. And so I was like, what if I took these ideas I had in my head and began to put them down on paper? And that's when, sometime in middle school, it kind of clicked that what I loved, what I always turned to when I needed to escape from real life for a little bit, was stories. And for me, it was funny stories and adventure stories and sometimes scary stories. And I said, okay, so now maybe I can take these ideas I have and make my own versions of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've talked on the podcast a lot about why kids love spooky stories and stories of danger. Why do you think kids might be attracted to The Last Kids on Earth and all the scary, funny adventures that they're involved in?
You know, I think about that a lot. What I kind of compare it to is like having a nightmare, like a bad nightmare. And it's the worst, right? It's like the worst feeling in the world. Like, you think that something horrible is happening. But then there's that moment when you wake up, and after, you know, a split second, 2 seconds, you realize, oh, that wasn't real. That didn't happen. That's not happening. I'm not on my way to school right now without any of my books or any of my homework. It's a normal day. Everything's going to be okay. And that's what I like about scary stories. And I think that's what kids connect with, and adults too, is that it's this, it's something that gets your pulse racing. You get chills, you just get really scared for a bit, but you can always then shut that book and it's like, okay, it's over. It's back to like real life. And, I can take a pause from it. So I think especially for kids in a life that's always so unpredictable and full of people telling you where to go and what to do, being able to read something and get lost and sucked into something that is escapist, maybe scary or maybe, you know, big cliffhanger style adventure stuff, that always feels, in my mind, when kids are reading it, it feels like a real escape. And that's where novels, stories of all kinds have always been the most, like, helpful to me in life, and more than just that made me laugh, or I think that's cool. That's the stuff where it's like, oh man, like, life is going horrible this year. I need to shut off for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about escapist stuff, scary stuff. And that's why I like to write it. 'Cause I think I get to give kids a little bit of a break sometimes.
One of the things that we've heard from authors over the years here on the podcast is they'll oftentimes say that, I was really surprised when my character did this or that. Was there anything that happened in the creation of this 10th book in the series that surprised you?
There was, actually. So I've always avoided trying to have the kids, like, often in a book or any sort of story, kind of in the second half, maybe the characters get really angry at each other and things kind of fall apart for a bit and you have to watch them start to argue. And when that happens for an extended period of time, I always get kind of bummed out about it. And I don't enjoy those moments. Like, there's a TV show I watch called Monk, which is my favorite thing ever. Me and my daughter loves it. And like, when I remember I watch it at night when I'm trying to fall asleep. And I'm scrolling through and, like, there's a little capsule about what this episode's about. Whenever it's one where, like, Monk and the captain get into a big fight because of this, I never watch those ones because it just sort of stresses me out. It takes away from that feeling of, like, oh, like, I'm now with my own friends, like the fictional friends of mine in a world that I want to spend time in. So I've always tried to avoid really going hard into, like, the, you know, Jack and June are mad at each other for this whole book or something. But I did end up doing that with Jack and Quint in this book, and I was surprised that it opened up a lot of new possibilities for jokes, emotions I hadn't really explored yet. And it was a fun challenge to figure out how to do that in a way that imagining myself as the reader, where it wouldn't have been something where I was like, oh, I'm not really enjoying this because they're just mad at each other. So finding a way to make that kind of different and kind of fun, and then putting there's a big reveal sort of at the end where you discover the reasons behind the lies that kind of caused this trouble between them. So that was really surprising that I enjoyed writing that stuff. When I sat down and read it, kind of clean after a while, I enjoyed reading that section and those beats. So that was a nice surprise and one that had scared me when I started diving into it.
Yeah. I'm imagining that somebody listening to this, maybe an author who's listening to this, who dreams of having a successful series like this, but they might be sitting back saying, how in the world does Max keep this series fresh? This is the 10th book, and you said there are other side kind of projects to it. Where do the fresh ideas keep coming from?
Well, I'll admit that it gets harder as it goes on. That's for sure. The first couple books, I really felt like sort of endless ideas. I like to explore certain like tropes and then put them into like, I'll do like the Last Kids on Earth version of it. Like the sixth book in the series, Skeleton Road, is like a big road trip adventure. And I love road trip movies. And I love any sort of story where it's like, you know, a road trip. You get, it's just kind of like you get endless sequences of new places, new opportunities for things. So that one was really fun to write. So I spent a lot of time thinking about like, oh, what's the Last Kids version of a sports movie, or what's the Last Kids version of a book in the Spy School series? You know, what are those things? And I still, so far, keep finding things, new ideas for structures, new conceits, new tropes that I want to explore in the Last Kids sort of format from that point of view.
You know, it reminds me, I just finished listening to Mel Brooks' autobiography that he read, and it was hilarious. And he was talking about all the different genres. Well, I did the scary movie. I want to do a historical kind of takeoff on that and that. It sounds like that's kind of something that you're doing with the series, is kind of putting your kids into those different situations.
Mel Brooks, he stole that from me. That was and then he came along. This young up-and-coming guy. Does he read the audiobook? He must. Otherwise, you couldn't do it right.
He does, and I love when authors read the thing that I love, and it sounded like this throughout the whole reading that Mel did, is that he it sounds like he forgot some of the things that he wrote. And as he's reading it, it's making him laugh. So he's laughing.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
As I'm laughing, and it's like, hey, me and Mel are laughing
together. I head to the library. Wait, now I lost track. Oh, yes. So, yeah, it is like I spent a lot of time thinking about, okay, what if this one feels a little bit like there's a mystery, like exploring those things. And then, yeah, like you know, yeah, Mel Brooks does, does history, does vampires, does Hitchcock, all those things. And that's a lot of how I think of things when I'm thinking about The Last Kids on Earth. And also we have a spinoff called The Last Comics on Earth, which is a very goofy, rule-free world where it's the kids writing their own comic books and they sit around and they're like, oh, let's do a vampire thing. Let's do a Conan the Barbarian thing. That's a really fun place to put some of the ideas that I have when I'm writing The Last Kids on Earth. And I'm like, oh, that's really fun, but it's like too out there, breaks the world, it's too different. I can always take those and store them and then put them in a Last Comics on Earth book, because those are really just goofy, silly, big, fun, not a lot of rules.
You mentioned that you like to watch Monk with your daughter. That was one of the shows I loved watching with my daughter when she was still here and not a successful woman who just got married. That I just love that. Does your daughter enjoy The Last Kid series? Is she in that age group?
She's 8 years old. Uh-huh. She's very sort of, she likes to make fun of, our whole family has a lot of like, breaking each other's, making fun. And so she has friends. This is cool. She's in third grade and it's now, this is the second year we're like in their little, like classroom library, Last Kids on Earth is in there. And so she has friends who read it. And sometimes they'll come to me at like school drop off and be like, when's the next book coming out? And she's like, probably never. He's not really working much. He's been watching a lot of TV. She's very funny like that. And then she'll be like, Dad, how come you don't write like a real book? And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is what I do. I write real books. She goes, one is not zombies and monsters, but you know, something like what we're reading in school. And then some more realistic fiction they're reading in school, probably. But I think she's watched the Netflix series that we did, and she's read the first probably two books in the series. And she also read book 5.5, which is June's Wild Flight, because that one focuses on, just on June from her point of view. And she's the female protagonist. So Lila, that's my daughter's name, really does love that one. But mostly she just likes to make fun of me and everything I do.
Well, that's it. That's what a daughter's supposed to be doing.
I would not ask for it to be any different at all.
You know, it's funny you're talking about your family kind of busting each other's chops. That's what it's like in our home. And we hosted international kids in our home. And one year we had this wonderful young woman from China living with us, and she was always very, very quiet. And we're at the table, and the jokes are going back and forth. And, of course, as the dad, I'm the butt of all the jokes.
Yeah.
And this young woman who is quiet as a mouse comes out with something that just made us all explode with laughter. But it was so out of her character. She jumped up and she ran to her room like she had done something wrong.
Oh my God.
We're like, no, come back. That was great. Give me another one.
I love the first half of that story. Did she come back? Did she give me another?
She came back and we're still in touch with her.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that.
That's part of our family. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So, 10 books in the series right now. Any plans on stopping, or are you going to go until?
Oh boy, that's a big question. I don't fully have the answer, I don't think. I'm always thinking about dreaming up new adventures for the kids, new directions to take the series. I really think the world of Last Kids can keep growing. The two I'm working on 11 and 12 right now, and for the first time I'm outlining two books in the series at once and trying to look at it like one. It's sort of one kind of its own little mini arc, because it's going to bring it's going to conclude a lot of things that have been set up over the last however many books. And then after, so that'll be book 12. There's going to be a big sort of grand finale thing. I know that for sure. Or grand finale to some arcs. And then after that, I have a lot of ideas for what to do with the characters in the world. I need to get a thumbtack and pin them down.
All right. That's really exciting. I just love it. And you said that there was a Netflix series. Are there talk about extending the series?
What we're talking about now, and we have been for about a year, is or more than that, but different places, trying to do a live action version of the book series. That would be the Netflix series was very, very faithful. If we did get to do a live action, I hope it would also continue to be faithful, but that's all very up in the air, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. I don't know. I know that I enjoy continuing to write the book series, and always kind of in my mind, I'm a visual person. I'm always imagining, you know, oh, this scene would look really good if it was like this, and you mm-hmm. could. That's what I like about having a series so full of illustrations. Douglas Holgate, the illustrator, I can write something that is almost impossible to describe, and then he'll take it and make it into, you know, you turn the page and it's this big, huge, epic battle or some very funny visual gag. That's what I love. One of the things that I love so much about writing it is that format.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, you know, when my kids are younger, we used to love to read a series and then, you know, talk about them on the way to school, on the way to soccer, ballet. I'm thinking the Last Kids on Earth series, it could take you through the whole school year.
I hope so. We're at my daughter and I started right around, let's see, like it's October now, mid-August, we started Harry Potter. And I had never read the whole series, and she hadn't read any of it. And so we've been going through that. And in the beginning, we were cruising. And we did we kind of bounced back and forth between the audiobook and then me reading it at bedtime. And then in the audiobook is the British one. So it's this really nice British voice. I forget who reads it. And then about a month ago, she said, Dad, why don't we just pick one, like the audiobook or you reading it? And I was like, oh, here we go. She wants my I try to do voices. It's terrible. she's like, she's going to say, let's just stick with this audiobook. And I was like a little bit bummed out, but then she said, I just want to stick with you reading it to me. So there's no more like listening to it in the car on road trips. So now it's only in bed at night. And so we're about halfway through, Goblet of Fire right now. So it's definitely going to take us at least up to probably May to get through it. Awesome. So yeah, I hope someone else is doing something similar with Last Kids on Earth.
Yeah. And just think in 8 or 9 years when Sophie's driving, you can sit in the back seat and read to her as she drives you around.
Yeah, oh, that'll be great. Right in Los Angeles, there's driverless cars everywhere. We can just both sit in the back seat. And
there you go. Tell everybody where they can go to find out more about The Last Kids on Earth and The Destructor's Lair and all the books in the series.
They can go to www.thelastkidsonearth.com or my website, which is just my name.com, Max Brallier, MaxBrallier. I know that's not an easy one. And then Instagram and all that stuff. And I'll be touring for the 10th book and the anniversary and starting that tour in a couple weeks. So I'm very excited.
Any East Coast appearances?
There will be. I wish I had the calendar in front of me. I believe I'll be in New York at least for a bit, and Connecticut at least for a day or so. It's a pretty quick sort of hectic one. I think it's like about 2 weeks in something like 10 cities. Yeah. I'm very excited.
Well, we're very excited. We want everybody to check out The Last Kids on Earth and The Destructor's Lair. And we got to give your puppy a treat because your puppy was great. Didn't bother us at all.
Yeah. Nessa, like Vanessa, but Nova, just Nessa. That's the name she came with, and we all kept trying to come up with different names and throwing them ideas, and we couldn't agree on anything. So she's just still the name that she came with, Nessa, and she's she just got her hair cut when I got her. So, yeah,
she's adorable. Max Brallier, thanks so much for being on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you so much for having me.
That brings us to the end of another magical episode of Reading with Your Kids. We hope you enjoyed it. In fact, if this episode made you smile or gave you something to think about, please consider sharing the link to the show with a friend. And we would be so grateful if you could leave us a 5-star review wherever you find the show. And of course, we'd love for you to subscribe to the show. We'd also love for you to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids. At Reading with Your Kids on Instagram, at Jedley Magic on X, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/readingwithyourkids. And of course, our website is readingwithyourkids.com. I want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guests, Rachel Renee and Nikki Russell. I love having these creators on my show. Be sure to go out and get your full color copy of Dork Diaries #1. Also want to thank Max Brallier. Please be sure to check out The Last Kids on Earth and The Destructive Lair, the 10th book in his wonderful middle grade series. I want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Daugherty. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we all want to thank you. You are amazing. You know, by reading with your kids, you're spreading kindness, imagination, and love all throughout the world. Keep reading, keep dreaming, and keep making the world a better place, one page at a time. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids.
with a dream in his hand, a heart full of courage, a plan that he never planned. One minute he's home, next he's through the door to River home again. Adventures calling once more. Trolls in the shadows, magic in the air. Every quest reminds him love and friendship are there. Toby Baxter, brave and true, the hero inside is shining through. Four great tales to lift our hero's heart.